You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party's Carmel Cipollone.
This week, the government is implementing their long-awaited tax cuts. The tax cuts differ, but are generally small cuts. A couple earning $100,000 a year with no children would pocket an extra $80 a fortnight, for example, while a single childless person on minimum wage will save $25 a fortnight. The tax cuts have been celebrated by some while being criticised by others for being minimal relief, especially for those who need the relief from the cost of living the most. The government has also put aside an extra $216 million to pay for the scrapping of the excise tax on tobacco. Labour's health spokesperson has criticised this move, saying the money would be better spent elsewhere. And the Minister for Social Development quietly lowered child poverty reduction targets from 13.3% to 9% for the 2024-2025 period and 11% for the 2026-2027 period. The government says this is to make the targets more achievable. For our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party, I spoke to Labour Deputy Leader Carmel Cipollone about these topics. Household tax cuts begin this week. Are you supportive of this kind of cost of living remedy?
Not really. What we're seeing is the government giving with one hand and taking with the other. We see rates going up, insurance going up. People have no longer got the free public transport or half for their children or half price for young people, no longer have free prescriptions. What we're seeing here is a give with one hand and a take with the other, and really worried that at the end of the day people are not going to be better off.
How is it less effective than the cost of living payment your government implemented last term?
Well, look, I mean, this is $14.9 billion. Many people have said that this was unaffordable, including economists. The government were warned that this could be inflationary. They themselves internally had issues with negotiating this and getting it over the line. And what we're seeing here is that they've given tax cuts, they've given $2.9 billion worth of tax breaks to landlords, and then yet have cut essential funding from our government agencies. And then there are all of those other ways that I mentioned earlier that New Zealanders are worse off. And so how can we possibly be supportive of that?
Who benefits from these tax cuts? Because the government is arguing when landlords get tax cuts, renters benefit.
Yes, they keep pushing this idea that it will mean that rents don't rise to the same extent, or that landlords will be happy to be in this market and provide rental properties to people. But there's no evidence of what they're saying. We certainly haven't seen rents go down since they got elected. In fact, they've gone up. And we certainly aren't seeing less of a demand on the housing market. People are struggling to get into housing, including into rentals. And we've seen a government turn back on the building of public housing and now are promising us much less than what we're on a trajectory to deliver when we were in government.
The excise tax on heated tobacco products is also gone. What is Labor's stance on this?
We absolutely oppose it. They are basically losing $220 million, I believe, in revenue by making this decision. And the only people that actually benefit from this is the tobacco industry themselves. I think, you know, Philip Morris, for instance. And so here we are, we've taken that revenue out. That money could have paid for a vast array of things, including, I think, my colleague Aisha Beryl referred to, free cervical screening. So why would we do this? It's not in the best interests of New Zealand's health and well-being. The only people that actually benefit are those from the industry, as I mentioned earlier.
Is there a harm reduction argument, though, for making heated tobacco products more accessible?
There's no argument. I mean, it's as stupid as the government's whole approach towards getting rid of the smoke-free legislation and, you know, not delivering on what we had all agreed to, which was to take New Zealand to a place where actually we were smoke-free as a country. And so that makes no sense. All you can put it down to is the fact that they have been captured by lobbyists, and they are serving the interests of the industry rather than serving the interests of New Zealanders.
So does this continue to undermine our smoke-free legislation?
It absolutely does, and by doing that, it undermines our future. We know the impacts of smoking on New Zealanders and on our health, and this is why we were world-leading, moving to that space where we had made the decision as a country that we were going to move to a place where we could be smoke-free. And then now we have this decision made by the government. Every decision that they make around smoking and vaping, all of the products are nonsensical. And so clearly they have been captured by the industry.
Last week, the government also quietly lowered their child poverty targets. Should we be concerned?
We should be absolutely concerned. And it was done in such a sneaky way, in an underhanded way. They keep trying to make the assertion that they've had to do this because of the previous government. No, they have made policy decisions that have led them to this place. When they made the decision to change the way in which benefits would increase so that they didn't increase at the faster pace that early in their term, they were given advice that said that an additional 7,000 people, our children, would be in poverty as a result of that policy measure. And then there are other policies that they haven't introduced or have introduced that also have an impact on child poverty reduction. So they need to take responsibility for the fact that they've had to lower these targets because of the lack of priority their government is willing to place on child poverty reduction.
The minister is arguing these numbers are more achievable. Doesn't this make sense?
Oh, they are more achievable because we don't have a government who have a policy agenda that is committed to reducing child poverty. If they put anything into place that was actually committed to doing that, then we wouldn't be in a position where the government have had to reduce the child poverty targets. And again, keep in mind that they have deliberately and knowingly implemented at least one policy with advice to say that more children would be in poverty as a result of that.
For comparison, what were Labor's child poverty reduction numbers?
Oh, we didn't do well in the last year. Inflation went up, everyone knows that. Cost of living went sky high, and that had a huge impact. However, over the course of our 6 years, there were 77,000 fewer children in poverty because of our sustained and deliberate approach to ensuring that we were putting policies in place that were focused on reducing poverty. Now, if we had been re-elected, we would have continued on that trajectory, and we certainly wouldn't have got rid of the indexation policy that National got rid of. One of the policies that actually previously the Children's Commissioner had said was one of the best things that we could do to actually reduce child poverty in this country.
That was Labor Deputy Leader Carmel Cipollone for our weekly catch-up with the Labor Party.
That was our weekly chat with the Labor Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.